Let's talk about how things are going in your life. We were sitting around my table with some of the pastors and teaching team, and we thought, what do we call this? We knew what we wanted to say in January, but what do we call it? And we kept throwing out ideas. No, that's not that. I threw out ideas. No, that's not good. And then Andy Roshkob said, hey, what about this? How's that working for you? Genius. So that's what we're calling this. We're going to be asking the question all month. Do some internal soul searching. How's things working for you? As we start this new year, we want to talk about it. How are things going? Are you making the right choices? Are you regretting some you've made? How are your relationships? How are your finances? What's your marriage? How's it going? What about your kids, family members? So how's that working for you? It seems sometimes Christmas is a joyous, phenomenal experience for most of us, particularly when you got grandkids around and those kinds of things. But it can also be a very painful time for people and families. Depending on what you've had to endure through the year or recently, things have really changed in your life or your family. And so I think it's just important for us to step back and say, there is help. There is a solution. God does care about us. And I want to talk about this today. In Matthew 6, you'll find part of the Sermon on the Mount. It actually starts in chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. But in Matthew 6, at verses 1 through 4, I'm going to paraphrase Matthew chapter 6, the whole chapter. And but it'll be quick, I promise. So in chapter 6, it's now the second chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. It starts in chapter 5 of Matthew, and we get over to chapter 6, and it gets real clear. It gets real practical. Jesus was so practical, and he talked to us and addressed us right where we were living, right where we are in our world, in our time, in the middle of whatever we're in the middle of. And so as you read over in Matthew, you'll see this. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they've received all the reward they're going to get. And then he goes on to pray. When you pray, so I'll direct you to Matthew 5, 6, but let me just give you a quick paraphrase of what's laying there on those words and in our hearts and minds if we'll read it. So chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, Jesus is basically saying, when you give, give quietly, knowing it pleases God. God sees our generosity. And I still see quite a bit of people in the church world who love everything about following Jesus and going to a great church and all that, but somehow we've still sort of hold back and say, well, what do I give? My generosity is none of your business. Well, it really isn't. But you'd be better off if it were my business, because whose business it is God's. And you'll have to contend with that, because he's got a lot to say about it. So he starts Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, the second chapter of this. He'll say, give quietly, but give, knowing it pleases God. He sees our generosity. He sees it. And then you go to chapter 6, verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. Here's the next topic that comes up. He says, pray quietly, secretly, honestly. God listens. He knows what you need. He knows exactly what you need. And then to verses 14 and 15, kind of the next subject, bunch of subjects here in this chapter. Verses 14 and 15, forgive as you've been forgiven. And Jesus says, if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven. That's pretty strong, pretty straightforward. You can translate that in the Greek 10 different ways you want to, but it's going to tell you the same thing. We're forgivers. And if we don't forgive, we don't get forgiven. Go to verses 16, 17, and 18. He talks about fasting. He says, when you fast, do it privately. Do it privately. Just between you and God. Secretly. God's going to use it, and it'll reward you. He will reward you. When you basically fast, you might take a day, and you just Refrain from anything that's going to distract you, including food. And you are going to fast from the noise, from anything that distracts you. And it's going to be a day, ideally, you probably would be alone somewhere or have a chance to spend some time alone throughout the day. But fast, he says, privately, secretly. Pray quietly, secretly. Chapter 6, verse 16, 17, and 18 is fasting. Verse 19 to 23 says, keep the right perspective on your possessions. Guard your heart, protect your eyes. And where I'm going with all this is in the Sermon on the Mount. It's chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount. And what this is doing is beginning to give us some perspective, and we can ask ourselves as we go down this list, I'm doing it with you. How's this working for you? How am I doing in my giving? What's my prayer life like? Am I really truly forgiving others and letting it go? Do I really want to fast? I love food. I don't eat three meals a day. I eat six or seven three meals a day. They're not full meals, of course, but snacks. But fast. Let it go for a day. Set it aside. Keep the right perspective on our stuff, our possessions. Guard your heart. Protect your eyes. And then, verse 24, chapter 6, who are you going to serve? He says, who are you going to serve? So have you thought about what are you and who may you be serving in this new year, 2025? There's ample opportunities here at Crossings in all of our locations to serve people who are helping us do some amazing things around this community. Again, we prayed for 200. I know you're tired of hearing me say it, but then you see where God keeps just stretching us and taking us places we really never thought we would go. But he's working. There's always a need for someone to step in and go, where do you need some help? Find someone to serve. And it may be in your community, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe at work. Find a place where God's going to use the gifts he's given you, or just a heart that's open and you just want to love and help people. Serve. Then verse 25 and 26, he ends up chapter 6 about worry. Oh, this is one, I'd kind of like to mark it out of the Bible, but because it's my problem. Why worry about everyday life? Whether you have enough food and drink or clothes? Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest, store food in barns because your Heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than even they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? So what are you worried about? How's that working for you? New Year's always a great time to do some evaluating and at least write down what would I like to see happen in my life? What do I want to do differently? And at least write it down. Hope that by March or April, you'll still know where that list is. And you'll always be coming back to what God might have nudged you to do in the first few weeks of January. And you begin to say, okay, this is something I want to think about, pray about, and aim for the rest of this year. And maybe it will be, why are we worried? Stop worrying. It's easy to say, isn't it? Hard to do. And then just as we finish chapter 6, go over into chapter 7, and then Jesus kind of starts, I feel like kind of summarizes all these things in two very simple people and action that they take over in chapter 7. And here it is. Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Now, all that list I just gave you from chapter 6, if you haven't read it yet, read chapter 6. It's a great read. Now he's going to say, do those things, and when you've done those things, you've got some things you can build with now. Your attitude's beginning to change. You realize that God wants to use you in a way that might stretch you. Anyone who listens, he says, to my teaching and obeys me is wise. And it's like the person who built a house on rock. And the rain came in torrents and the floodwaters rose and the winds beat against that house and it won't collapse because it's built on rock. So are you building your life on solid rock? But then he says this, anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains come, the floods come, and the winds beat against that house, it's going to fall. In fact, it's just not going to fall. It's going to fall with a mighty crash. So how's this all working for you? Jesus says, anyone who listens to me and follows me is wise. Are you following him? Are you following him even though you're still unclear? Maybe you're new to this. Hopefully you've seen Jesus in the people of this church in the way we serve and love each other. Maybe you've seen Jesus for the first time in our Care Series ministries on Monday nights where we're getting through all kinds of things in life that have held us back. Or Tuesday nights, we have 400 young adults. You know, this is the demographic that's leaving church in the droves. And Andy Roshkob as leader and pastor with a great team on Tuesday nights, 400 some young adults gather and worship and hear a great message. We are so fortunate for that to be happening down in our venue. Or Wednesday nights with all the variety of classes and ways we can begin to grow up in our faith. Thursday night, celebrate recovery. Oh my goodness, you get so thrilled you feel like the top of your head's gonna pop off. Go to celebrate recovery. I just love what they're doing down there. And you see people who didn't think anybody cared. You see people who'd kind of marked themselves off as hopeless. And now they walk out of there going, I am hopeful. They're different. They've changed. And they've laid down some of those old, old rocks they picked up and tried to carry. And they're now free from the weight of all that stuff. And they're walking with Jesus. That's exciting stuff. There's a lot of places we can be together and serve and be in Bible studies, all those things. But are we going to listen to his teaching? And so he presents, it's really a good choice. You can build your house on sand, you can build it on rock. This is an old story. If you've been in church all your life, you've heard this story a lot. If you were born, you know, back when I was born, we had running water, air conditioning and cars and all that. But we had flannel boards. Surely some of you know what I'm talking about. We don't have those anymore because we have, what do they call these fancy screens that intuitive or you touch them and all that stuff happens, you know. I had flannel board. I remember what they would depict this story of the rock and the sand. And even as a kid, probably 7, 8, 9 years old, I don't know how old I was then, it starts clicking. I was privileged to have parents that took me to church. I mean, they had to because dad was the pastor. but boy, am I glad I grew up in church and in a good one. My brother and I could really stir things up. Like the one time, I think he pushed me out a window or I pushed him out, I'm not sure. It was quite a sight at church, the pastor's kids. But you know what? I'm glad mom and dad took us to church, or sometimes they drug us to church. Because you know, as we get older and become teenagers, we know so much more. I'm so glad they did that. And you learn that you've got some choices in your life. And you can build your life on something that is solid, and there's not a storm in the world that will ever bother or mess up that rock, that life. Or you can do the quick way and build it on sand. Cross your fingers, wish you luck, because when troubles come, you're going to collapse. It's a very different outcome. So this is a story about Jesus is telling it. It's a parable. It's an example. Two men built a house. So there's three things they had in common. Both men are going to build a house. Secondly, both men have heard Jesus' words. And third, each man has encountered a violent storm. That's for both of them. House on the rock, house on sand. Okay, they all built something. They all heard the words of Jesus, and each one encountered a storm. And the two men had all this in common, but they had a choice as to how they might respond to the words of Jesus and the actions those words might imply. You get to decide what you'll do with what you've heard. Jesus makes that clear. And if you're not real clear, are you building your life on rock? Or you still got some sand going over here because it's kind of a quicker fix, it's a quicker build, but it's not going to last. How's that working for you? Two guys had the same thing in common. They just made different choices. And Jesus made it clear, if you're wise, you'll build your life on the rock, on solid ground. And Jesus is real clear here. If you're a fool, you'll build your life on sand. So the first detail is we're gonna build something. We're gonna build a life. We can either build character, build our souls, fuel our minds, or give it no thought and ramble through life with minimal concern or direction for anything specific. Some would say that's the good life. What a lot of folks find out is it's really the lonely life. And it's a life that's up to you. And I think one of the great things that happens, you'll learn this in 12 steps, one thing that really is a blessing that when it happens, it's painful. It's when you run out of yourself. You run out of yourself. We're all going to build something. We're all going to build a life. We're going to build character. We're going to build our souls. We're going to fuel our minds. Or we can just give it no thought, ramble through life with minimal concerns or direction for anything specific. The materials you use to construct a house, your life house, the materials you use to build a life are the choices we make every day. Choices often underestimate the details. Tom Wright, New Testament scholar, said in Jesus' day, the old way to God, the old system, was symbolized in the temple. Jerusalem was built on the Temple Mount or Temple Rock. It was, among other things, known as the House on the Rock. So when Jesus is telling this parable, this story, they're getting it because they all are very well acquainted with the Temple Mount and the Temple Rock. And Jesus says the house on rock in the future, it's not going to be the house literally that we see on that rock. He says it's going to be not in the temple anymore, but a new community of people who build their lives, Jesus says, on my words. There's a new covenant coming. And no more got to be good enough to get into the synagogue, to get into the church there, because if you got to sacrifice something, a bird, a dove, a lamb. That's the only way you got forgiven. Some blood had to be spilled. It was an animal. That was their practice in those days. That's how you were kind of got better with God. You sacrificed something and went on down the road until you messed up again, and you get another lamb, and it was one messed up system, but it's all they knew until Jesus Christ came. And when Jesus came, he goes, no, I'm the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. I am that lamb, he says, and I will be sacrificed, and that will be the last sacrifice needed, because I'm going to do it for everybody, once and for all. No more animals, no more sacrificing, no more spilled blood. I'm going to take care of that once and for all and for everyone. That's what Jesus did. And he says, he reminds us, you're building a life. You're building a life. What are you building it on? How's that working for you? Second thing we know about this story is both these men built a house. They both did. And then the third and final thing we know about these guys is each one of them had a storm hit them. The storm came. It's a great description. The rains came down, the winds came up. It's an old song. I'd sing it, but you don't want to hear me sing today. Both these men encountered the same storm. Same storm. Every one of us will come to a place in life where we realize we're not planning well. And sometimes sand is so much easier to deal with. It's like, it reminds me of when you're at the beach where I love the beach, and our kids, we get on there, we build sand castles, all this kind of thing. And it's so cool. Let's take a picture of it. People are going to walk by, and we'll come back tomorrow. Well, if you forget, there's high tide coming in. You get out there the next morning and it's gone. You'll see a little bit left, but nothing like what was there yesterday. And we live life like that. It's good for today, may not be here tomorrow, but I'm just worried about today. And what a mistake that is, to not be more serious about the life you've been given, about the gifts and the talents that are inside of you that need to be used and put to work. God gave you those gifts so you could do something for someone else. And even when the storms come, if you're built on the rock, if you build it on solid rock of Jesus Christ, let the storms come, you'll be fine. There are times in life we'll be scared to death in the storms, whatever storm you might find ourselves in life. But you'll be just fine, Jesus says. You build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, who stands just saying, come to me. Come to me. He doesn't say, come to me if. He doesn't say, come to me, but you know, go get cleaned up first, will you? A little bit, put a little makeup on. Let's put some lipstick on this pig and see if it looks any better, you know? No, Jesus doesn't do that. He says, y'all come to me, everybody. You know, Jesus was always in trouble because he got with the wrong people. The people in the community that were those bad people, they're bad people. Jesus found his way to go straight for them, and their lives changed. They didn't think it was possible. They'd never walk in a temple. There's still people today just like that. I have to own that there are days people drive by this place who don't go to church, and they go, I would never go to a church that big. And I understand it. I get it. We just have to pray that maybe somewhere in this city they'll run into someone who's been a part of Crossing and says, hey, I go down that big church, but it gets small real fast. Just come go with me. You know, most people who visit a church were invited. Who's on your mind to invite this year? And they're not going to find a Jesus that's mad and angry because their life's so messed up. You're going to know, he's going to say, I'm so glad you're here because there's more for you than you have settled for. There's a solid foundation, a solid rock that just breathes life into us. And it doesn't make us perfect, and we're not still going to be trouble-free. But at least we know we're in his hands, and he's with us. So what are you building? Rock or sand? Rock is what I call permanent foundation. Sand is good for instant gratification, but it's not going to last. No couple getting married sits down and says, let's plan on a divorce before we get married. Let's work it out so we know what we'll do if we get a divorce. Who does that? And if you do, why are you getting married? Is it that frivolous? Nobody does that. I hope not. But let's get the divorce paper settled now in case this marriage doesn't work out. No one walks in a bar and says, you know, I think I'm going to just start drinking too much. I've seen other people do it, and I think I can do it. No one walks in a bar and says, you know, I kind of want to be an alcoholic. No one ever has a child and says, I think I'll remain cold and distant and let the school and neighborhood and the church raise this kid. I don't know what to do with him. And even with the church involved, you choose to stay distant as a parent, and that child's going to have a hole in their heart that will prove very detrimental to their lives. And no parents have children and think they'll just yell at them and be harsh and exasperate them, as the scripture says, and wonder why they're so angry when they're teenagers. No one plans to be bitter, angry, resentful old person before they die. No one plans that out. No one chooses that. Because all of us, every one of us, we have a choice, rock or sand. And sometimes we want a little rock and a little sand. No, it's one or the other. We have a choice. And can we be honest with ourselves on this new year to admit that we've made some choices? And when you ask me, how's that working for me? I'll say, not very good. You've rolled the dice, crossed your fingers, think you can make something work that has never worked for anyone else. Rock or sand? It's your choice. Choice is yours. John Ortberg, great quote. He said this, "No one plans to lead a mediocre life, but if you stop and think about it, are you settling for a mediocre life? And how's that working for you?" There's so much available to us. There's so much joy to be found. It doesn't make us perfect, and it won't mean every day is going to be easy. But I tell you what, walking with Jesus, whatever you got to go through, it'll get you through it. I'm a testimony to that. Believe me, no one chooses this career path I'm in if you didn't believe with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I know what Jesus has done for me in my life, and I know what he can do for you. So in this new year, my hope is choose the rock. Build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Let him love you. Let him empower you. Let him bring out the gifts he's put in you. It says in the scriptures, each one is given a gift to use for the common good of the body of Christ. Is it time to use your gift to serve somewhere? Maybe there's a need. Rock or sand? It's a new year, a lot to think about. Some great stuff coming up here at church the next 3 months. And it's all designed to help us do some evaluating. How's life working for us? And where do we need to call on the name of the Lord and say, I need help? I don't want another year like this one. I need something different, we say. And he stands ready to do that, if you'll ask him. I'm going to close in prayer. And after I do, there'll be prayer teams and pastors here across the front of this room. If you want just a quick conversation or have someone pray for you or with you about something that may be going on right now. And also remember, there is a prayer group over in the chapel after all the services. They're there to pray. You can pray silently by yourself, or you can talk to one of the team over there who'd be happy to pray for you and with you. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being here today. Thank you, Father, for Crossings. Thank you for every church today that is just simply doing everything they can to lift high the face and cross of Jesus Christ. Not someone famous, not someone who needs an ego trip. Thank you for those throughout this world today simply lifting up Jesus and saying, here's our answer. And I pray you'd give courage to those who could find out pretty quick that he truly is the answer. I pray, Father, there'd be some choices made, that we'd leave the sand behind and stand on the rock of all ages, the rock of Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.